Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Our next section of study in the book of Romans is in the 11th chapter, and we begin with verse 16. And in this next passage, Paul is going to explain to us the spiritual relationship of the Jews and the Gentiles. Now, he has already pointed out that salvation is needed by all, and that salvation is open to all. He recognizes the fact that the Jews, for the most part, rejected Christ, and the Gentiles were the ones that did receive Christ. But he says in verse 16, and he begins here by giving an illustration that the people could understand because they understood about the olive tree and the olive branches. He said, "For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree." Now Paul is writing to the Gentile people, and he's telling them of their relationship to the Jewish people. Now, he uses the word holy. All the Jewish people were not holy in the sense that they were free from sin. They were not cleansed by the blood of Christ. They were not holy because of their own righteousness. But the term holy has reference to them like the term was used with regard to certain offerings that were made of the first fruits of the crops that were harvested. By the acceptance of the first fruits, God showed that the entire harvest could be usable and could be acceptable. Now, inasmuch as many Jews were converted to Christ at the beginning of the Christian age, and that, of course, did take place at the day of Pentecost, some 3,000 being baptized into Christ, there is the demonstration of the desire for all the Jews on the part of God to be saved. In fact, those on Pentecost who were converted, they were all Jews, were they not? So it's obvious that the first fruits were acceptable. And that being true, all would be acceptable who would come to God through Christ like they did on Pentecost. Because some of the Jews were saved, it was evident that God wanted all the Jews to be saved. The acceptance of the root shows God's willingness to accept the branches. Now, friend, here's the answer to the question that we had in verse 1 of this chapter. Hath God cast away his people? Why, the answer is no. Unfortunately, however, many of the branches were cast away. But why? It was not because God had turned his back on them. It was because of their own rejection of Christ. Now, Paul here refers to the Gentile Christian as a wild olive tree. And that's in distinction from the Jew who was the natural branch. Some wild branches, having references to the Gentiles, had been grafted in. And why? Because they had accepted Christ. These granted branches were enjoying unity with God as much as the natural branches, the Jewish converts. Therefore, the Jews and the Gentiles, both being in Christ, were enjoying a common salvation. Now, friend, Paul is showing that the Jews who rejected Christ were as branches that had been broken off, and the Gentiles who had accepted Christ were as branches that had been grafted in. And so we see the relationship between these two by this illustration. And so he has some words, however, to say to the Gentile people, beginning with verse 18. Boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare thee not. Now he's continuing here with comments to the Gentiles, and this is a warning to the Gentiles. Though they were now grafted in, were accepted, they should not become boastful. They were not to brag that one is saved and the other is rejected. That, of course, would be out of character for a Christian. Paul is showing here the possibility that the Gentile Christian could also fall away and be rejected. Friend, it was because of unbelief that the natural branches, the Jews, were broken off. They rejected Christ. And if the natural branches were broken off because of unbelief, surely the grafted branches from a wild olive tree would be broken off and could be broken off if that same unbelief overcame them. And this is undeniable significance that apostasy is a possibility among Christians. In verse 22, Paul says, "Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God. On them which fell, severity. But toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off." Paul gives us a contrasting characteristics of God. Now they're in contrast, but they're not contradictory one to another. Paul mentions the goodness of God. He also mentions the severity of God. Now, this first trait we like to consider because we believe that we're the beneficiaries, we're the recipients of the blessings because of this goodness of God. It is certainly true that we're blessed because God is good and is good toward us. But this earlier other trait should cause us to have fear and trembling, because it means if we rebel and disobey, we shall be the recipients of the wrath of God. And this we certainly want to avoid at all cost. It was the goodness of God that allowed the Jews and the Gentiles, both, to have opportunity for salvation. It was the severity of God that caused the disobedient natural branches of verses 19 and 20 to be broken off. And his severity could also cause unfaithful Gentiles, the grafted in branches, to be broken off if they became unfaithful. But then in verse 23 and 24, Paul has some good news for the Jews, even those who had thus far rejected Christ. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted in, contrary to nature, into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? Now keep in mind, he's talking about this olive tree. Here's the Jewish people. Those who rejected Christ were broken off. But if they came to belief, they could be grafted back in again, just like the believing Gentiles. If those who rejected Christ because of unbelief would abandon that position of unbelief, God would restore them into his good favor. And Paul reasons, if God can take the Gentiles, and they were not his chosen people, and make them his people, surely God could take the Jews, who had been his chosen people, and who for a time rejected him, but they had been his chosen people, he could make them again his people if they should return to him through Christ. If God could save the Gentiles, he certainly could save the Jews. And that's good news to the Jewish people. And that's what Paul is emphasizing here in these verses. In verse 25, he says, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should become wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Now here's the emphasis that the Gentiles were not guilty of to be not guilty and conceit and superior feelings because they were in Christ. The blindness was of the Israelites was in part. That means some of the Israelites had not been blinded. And he said this would be the case until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Now, what does that phrase mean? Well, friend, let's go back for a moment and look at it. It does not necessarily state a specific time reference. It's talking about that the Jews would remain hardened against this system of faith that embraces all men until almost everybody accepted the fact that Gentiles would be included among the saved as well. Keep in mind, this is what the prophets had said. This is what had been foretold. God would save Gentiles as well as Jews. But the Jews who rejected Christ, they still could be saved, but only if they abandoned their unbelief, only if they complied to the message of salvation that God devised through Christ. The Jews who would refuse to accept Christ and God's grace through Christ would continue to be hardened until everyone realized all mankind can come to God through Christ. He continues on and says in verse 26, and we may not be able to discuss this fully, but he says, "And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins." When God says, "And so all Israel shall be saved," he's not saying that everybody in Israel is going to be saved. The word "so" refers to the manner, to the way in which the Jewish people could be saved. In previous verses, 23 and 24, it teaches us that the abandonment of unbelief, which means coming to believe, would cause the broken branches, the Jews who had rejected Christ, they could be grafted in again. Yes, this is good news for all mankind. You see, the system of salvation is not to just one nation. It's not to just one people. It's not just to one race. It's to man and woman. It's to rich and to poor. It's to black and to white. It's to all mankind. And that the Jews might be saved has been God's intent. That's been his desire. From the prophecies in Psalms, from the prophecies in the Isaiah and Hosea and other prophets, it had been foretold this system of salvation would be through God's Son, but it would be open to all mankind. And that's what Paul is illustrating here in these verses of chapter 11. Well, we'll finish chapter 11, Lord willing, in our next study, and then we'll study that great and wonderful chapter about Christian living, Romans chapter 12. We hope that you'll continue to study with us this great book of the system of salvation. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.